Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. Excuse me. This week on the Weekly Conversation, was Hillary using hand signals during the debate? I think so. I'll get into the evidence. Also, popular radio show host, actually the second highest listened to with 20 million listeners, Michael Savage's broadcast was shut down nationwide, and he's questioning why after he started going into Hillary Clinton's health, and then radio stations nationwide started playing instantly old radio versions of it or someone totally different. I thought we had freedom of speech in this country. I guess it's only if you're pro-liberal, pro-socialism, or pro-Hillary. But something that went on at a Trump rally in Florida that will make you wonder if Hillary would even win the election. Excuse me. Also, Obama's 9/11 veto was trumped by Congress 97-1. Who was that one lone vote and who were two no-shows? What did Tim Tebow do at his first time at bat that a lot of major league pitchers have done and batters have done and some have never done again? Also, Howard Dean still stands by his stance that Trump probably uses coke. Great. I hope he does. I want some. He probably gets the good stuff. He probably gets the pure stuff, not that like baking soda down stuff. Well, if they want to make accusations, he should just, you know, what the heck? They don't have anything better than to talk about. The country's falling apart. You know, go back from George Washington to Ronald Reagan's end of his presidency. Obama's accumulated more debt than that, but they got to make accusation that Trump's on coke. Really? That's all they can come up with? I've met Howard Dean several times. I've cooked for him. I've served him. I would think he would come up with something a little bit more creative than that one. Also, Mike Pence has kind of stepped outside the box and said that humans have a hand in climate change, global warming. Do you agree with that? I think he's just trying to get people from the left to say, hey, you know, I don't know if he really believes it or not, but we'll find out. Also, here's a multi-million dollar question at the end of the MLB season as it comes towards the end. What do you think World Series tickets would go for if the Cubs make the World Series? I would think I can see tickets going for six figures. That, and I'll get into some English Premier League. And so thank you for tuning into the program that you're a part of. This, as we sit here, and we talk about Jeremiah 33, verse 2. This is what the Lord says, the Lord who made the earth, who framed and established it, whose name is in the Lord. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. That's the verse of the day, and thank you for tuning in, and what a wonderful Thursday. It's going to be a beautiful program, folks, and I do want to make a programming note. Next week, I'll be doing the show on Monday instead of Tuesday. Excuse me. Tuesday. Well, this weekend I'm doing the feast, and when we get back Tuesday, one of my favorite bands, the Dark Star Orchestra, is coming into town, and I will be with my wife, and we'll be enjoying that for the evening. And so I'm going to be out there, and if you don't know who the Dark Star Orchestra is, or I'm going to be performing, if you're local, at the Lafayette Theater. They're a group that replicates Grateful Dead concerts, and then they, at the end of the show, they give you hints throughout the year, throughout the show about what year it was, you know, when it was, and then at the end, they tell you the show that it was. And then at the very end, they play like one or two songs to close out to make it their own. And it's a big thing. And I've seen them like 20 times. So it's going to be kind of cool. I just hope, since it's at the Lafayette Theater, it's a small venue. It's not something where they have it up, where they have it up too loud and it just like, it's not enjoyable. Because I know if you ever sit behind the guy in a car and he's got the bass so loud that the trunk's shaking and it sounds like crap, you know, I just hope it's where it's at a volume where you're having a great time and enjoying it. It's not like where, because like when we saw Striper, earplugs would have helped with the noise, but it still would have sounded, they had the volume up too much. And it just, to me, just ruined the sound. You know, just like anything, too much, and broccoli's good for you, but if that's all you eat, too much of a good thing can be bad. But that's a little programming note. But was Hillary Clinton using hand signals during the debate with the moderator? There's lots of evidence saying yes. And I have to tend to agree, because if you go to the video that is out there, it says, says something like this. Said by Merlin, SC distribution to be blocked in your area due to copyright grounds of copyright. The video has been taken down due to copyright infringement and all this. They're saying that there's copyright rules, and then if you go on YouTube and see how much video and how much stuff out there that's copyrighted, but it's still on there and no one cares. Oh, but this one that basically shows, I got the debate recorded. And there's a lot of things that Hillary's doing that just, I mean, it's just, there's too many coincidences. I'm sorry. She has too many. Well, it's just magical that all these people involved with her emails. I plead the fifth. My counsel says they instruct me to plead the fifth. I won't say a word. I'm sorry. You know, there's too many coincidences with her for it to be. If it was the first time, okay. But when stuff like this goes on and on and on and on and on, it just makes you wonder. But there's images where you can basically clearly see like something in her back. You know, I honestly think that she may be having some memory issues with the head injury, and they're giving her information. It's just one human concerned for another. You know, I never thought I'd see a day where people would be concerned about a human being and they're getting excommunicated for it. Okay. Got to cancel the show, do this, you know. Yep, you're out of here, Dr. Drew. Yep. But you know, I don't get it. I thought we had freedom of speech, but no, I guess that's bye bye. Now this is something you won't hear from a Hillary side, but you hear it from the Trump side. There was a guy that was having his Trump sign vandalized and tore up and taken and stuff, so he booby trapped it to where you get shacked if you take it. And there's video of a guy in a blue, like, kind of zip up jacket kind of thing with a hood going to grab it and get zapped, and he takes off running, and it's hilarious. You know, why don't you see any Hillary signs or Tim Kaine signs booby trapped? Why not? I'll tell you why, because we don't care. If you're that stupid to vote for someone like that, I'll go by and I'll laugh at it, but I'm not going to take the sign away. I'm like, yeah, if you're that, here, I'll put about five or six more in your yard. If you, I don't know how anyone can support anyone. There's a video going around now from the 80s where it had Ronald Reagan, and he was on Johnny Carson's show, and he said, you know, government, you'll not find the answer in government. You'll find the answer in the people. The government's not the solution. I saw there was a video, and I've talked about this before. It was years ago, like 3 years ago, where there was a state where their EBT cards went out and they had no, and they didn't work, and people didn't have money. And there were like 30 cards in Walmart left. And when they started going through these carts to the people that had all this stuff in their carts, what did they find in these carts? Filets, steaks, lobster tail, all this stuff that we can't, that we're not buying. You know, and I've said this a million times, the war on poverty was going, not getting, it wasn't getting worse when they started the war on poverty with Lyndon B. Johnson. It was getting better. It was getting better, folks. That's the problem. Governments don't solve anything. I remember when I was in culinary school, our instructors told us a story about these two guys that were helping this winemaker out, and they actually turned them in for doing illegal stuff because if they got fired, they could go on a government in welfare that would actually be better than what they were making. But my point is, there's hundreds of videos on YouTube where these people are like at like a welfare office because their EBT card don't work. No one's telling me my kids are going without food. No one's telling me that my kids, I'm not going to be going to my kids telling them they can have nothing to eat. You know, they're at a government office complaining why their card that they used to buy free stuff doesn't work. Well, there's a thing called a job. You get it, you work for 2 weeks. And in return, you get money. Yeah, it's a strange concept that you can actually get a job and work for the money. That's the problem. People don't want to work anymore. We're turning into a European society where, I'm owed. Give me, you know. You mean I have to work for that? I think you have to do something if you have an EBT card, like volunteer or help out or do something to earn that money. You know, but we're turning into this European entitlement society. Where heck, I want to have one kid and then be on welfare, because then as long as I have that kid, they can't take that welfare away from me. I can just make all this money and not have to. Why would I want to work when I can't find a job that will pay me what this entitlement stuff does, what the government gives me? I never thought I would. I mean, that's why I'm glad I have a beautiful wife that wants to see this mist twist lemon lime drink. We paid for it. We earned it. We worked for it. But I've earned. What my wife has and what she buys, she earns. We're not like, okay, what can I get for free? And we try to get deals. We try to try, now if I can get 10% off this, we're sure, yeah. You know, but we want to have what we have. We want to earn it. We don't want it to be given to us. Oh, speaking of the devil, I gotta say this. One night, it's not bad, but one night, We're like half asleep on the bed, and I send my wife all this stuff because they have these shirts that will say, like, I have three loves in life, you know, beer, darts, and my wife. And they have all these. Well, that too, but that's what the shirt said. You know, they have like Notre Dame shirts that have like the Dead in it, or like Foo Fighters, whoever your favorite band is, or whatever. And they had these Grateful Dead bear, like zip-up hoodie kind of jackets. And we're half out of it. My wife's like, I like those. Those things are cute. I'm going to get them. I'm like, okay. I was half out of it, not thinking about it, not really knowing what's going on. Next thing you know, we wake up in the morning and realize, yes, we did order those. And they just came today. And it's one of the mistakes that actually was amazing because they're beautiful. We can wear them to the Darkstar Orchestra concert if it's cool enough. But it's just one of those things that we earned it, you know. I don't like the way this country is going, this turning into this entitlement, I'm owed society. The whole point of food stamps anyways and EBT cards were to help you get the bare essentials like bread, eggs, cheese, and milk. Not to go buy tattoos and lobster tails and steak. Boy, was I wrong. But as I wrap this up, folks, I want to have what I have. I don't want an entitlement society. But just because the country's not going in the direction I want it to, or our forefathers intended it to, the reason why we have America, I'm not going to disrespect my nation. I'm going to stand up for the national anthem. I'm going to respect the flag. I'm not going to take a Hillary Clinton sign. Ooh. Don't worry, folks. She's screwing it up on her own. There was an actual rally that was in, I think, near Orlando, Florida, where it was at like an airplane hangar. And the fire marshals say at the minimum, there were 8,000 people that had to be turned away. 8,000 minimum. The Trump people and the chairman say it was 12,000. The fire marshals say it could be 12,000, but it was at least 8,000, if not more. Minimum of 8,000 people they turned away at this one rally. If it was 12,000 like the Trump's campaign contends, that would be equal to or more than every supporter that's been at every Hillary rally from August 1st till now, till the day of that rally, like 3 days ago. That speaks volumes. If she was to win the election, you would know, I would sit there and be questioning how she won when no one was going to her rallies. I understand Obama winning because there were tons of people at his rallies. He was packing them in because people were believing the nonsense. And there's people that still would vote for him a third term. But remember, folks, do your homework. The war on poverty was going down, not up, when Lyndon B. Johnson started the war on it. The economy was going down, not up, when Bush took office. Those are facts, folks. But let's not forget this. You know, they try to blame Bush for the housing crisis. But Hillary forgets that it was her husband who repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, causing Americans to be able to magically buy a home way more than they could afford. Okay, well, there are car dealerships that used to do that. They'll get someone into a loan they can't afford because then they can repo the car and make even more money. They try to blame, but then when you look into it, there are people that try to sit there and say, okay, wait a minute, folks. We had no debt when Bush took office, and then magically we had all this debt. There was debt in this country when Bush took office. Don't let Democrats fool you. It's not like we had a surplus of money when Bush took office and then he spent it all. Right. That's not the case, but that's what they try to imply. Do your own facts checking. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to my wife. Don't listen to anybody. Do your homework. I mean, listen to me, but don't just take my word for it. Like Glenn Beck always says, don't take my word for anything. Look it up. Prove me wrong. And I never could. Sometimes it was actually worse. I just wish I could have gotten a hold of him and say, yeah, I'm Glenn Beck. Yeah, I actually proved you wrong. You said this, and it's actually worse than you said it was. So, yeah. But if you're an Indiana boy or girl, you know what this means. Okay, Congress, if you ever played euchre, the Congress trumped and pulled out the Trump card and overrode Obama's veto of the 9/11 bill. I still don't know how they're going to sue. Like Saudi Arabia and these countries that they are claiming responsibility. Now, you know, they've vetoed his, they've overridden his veto. 97-1. So now you can, I guess, if everything goes right, you can somehow sue. How you would sue them or what would happen if you would go through the government and they sue for you and then keep 90% of the money and here's your dollar after we paid our attorney. I don't know how you'd sue, but Obama is 100% against it. But the only person that said no was Vermont Democrat. No, it's not. Well, he was one of them, but Harry Reid from Nevada was the only no. Vermont Democrat Bernie Sanders and Tim Kaine from Virginia were the two that were no-shows. I understood Tim Kaine because he's probably on the road campaigning because Hillary's not because she's sick. But, you know, Obama's like, this is bad, da-da-da. Of course it's going to be bad. You don't, because you're not getting your way. Boo-hoo. That's the part of the government. It's called give and take. You don't get everything you like when you're president, but you make the most of it. You know, we have this, don't offend me society. I don't get it. Well, I got to go in the closet because I'm going to be offended. I got to hype in the microaggressions. I might get offended because he might call me an illegal red skin immigrant. Or alien or whatever. See, you can't really say illegal alien because you might offend the people in outer space, whatever race they are, you know, like the Galgamets or whatever. You know what I mean? I bet you pick any word in the English language and I could come up with some way to say it's offensive. Because if you say the word the, you're offending people that say the. So, I mean, we can't do that, you know. But, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand where people, at some point, people got their panties in a wad and they're there and they won't get undone. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Because, you know, I was told, son, you got a pair. Use it. You know, sticks and stones may break your bones. Words ain't gonna hurt you. You know. We have pasts. Our past is not perfect. We had slavery. Blacks were hung. We had Irish immigrants that were white that were shot because they were trying to get rights for coal miners. James McKenna was, you know, and some of these miners were just pardoned after all that time. Like I told my friend, I said, I'm not trying to compare anything or say, what my ancestors in the coal mines went through was worse than what you went through. I'm not saying that. I never owned a slave. You never picked cotton. I never worked in a coal mine. I never got currency that wasn't even real, that was just usable in the coal mine. But I'm not trying to use that as an excuse. I'm trying to move forward. I know history. I know the past. Let's move forward. Don't get caught up in this political propaganda of trying to push race. I mean, people are getting so scared that even George Bush is suggesting that you should vote for Gary Johnson. Because they don't want... Trump is scaring the establishment. He's not perfect. I'm never going to say, and most Trump supporters... Even Trump himself would say he's not perfect, I would imagine. But when you have people like Jeb Bush and, you know, saying we should vote for Gary Johnson, the other Bush is saying you should vote for Hillary. I never would have thought I would see the day. I would think, yeah, I don't 100% agree with Trump, but I'm going to back him. I'm going to back him. Nope. It's almost like, you know, there used to be an old post that said, the goal here is anyone but Hillary. You know, now it seems like they're trying to do everything to derail him. And the more the establishment doesn't like him, the more I'm like, hey, he's doing something right. If the people that are running the show are like, wait a minute here, he's going to take away the cookies from the cookie jar. You know, he's going to take all our fun. We're used to kind of doing whatever. We need to start collecting all the money we can now before he gets in office, and then we're screwed. And then our fun days are over. Well, I don't know if you heard about this, but in Hillsborough County, Florida, a Black Lives Matter piece was written on the side of a wall saying, kill white people. And I guess the police are investigating to find out who did it, what did it. You know, it's some sort of Black Panther type, Black Power, Black Lives Matter movement. And they're trying to find out who did it, what's going on. You would never hear the end of it if a KKK group did that and said, kill Black people. You would never hear it'd be on every news organization. It'd be going ballistic. You would never hear the end of it. It's kind of like, well, yeah, folks, we're trying to investigate to find out who really did this. You know, where is Al Sharpton? He'd probably be in prison. What are they doing spray painting over that? You mean... okay, you guys are going to have to respray paint that. He wouldn't denounce it. People like Jesse Jackson or something or Obama, they wouldn't sit there and denounce it. They should, but you won't see that. No, you won't. I don't know if you heard about this, and I'm sure most of you have, but this is a very lucky incident. Only one dead and 105 injured in Hoboken, New Jersey, as a transit train crashes into the station as it derailed. We're lucky there's only one death, and we're saddened by the 105 that's injured, but it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse. And it just... so many things are going on. It's one thing after another. And the NTSB is investigating it. And they don't believe there's any foul play or anything at this point. But it makes you wonder. Not that, you know, I try not to speculate until all the facts are in. But I think it's just a, you know, an accident that happened. And until we know otherwise, it's an accident. So... it's just sad. My grandma would always say that, you know, if stuff like this kept happening, she'd be like, you know, it's God's way of getting back at us for, you know, not following him and, you know. So it's just sad, you know, all the stuff that's going on and people in the NFL not standing up, and, you know, I say it a million times, you know, what's happened to the country that I grew up in. Some things happen here or there, but I don't remember the issues with color like there are now and all this stuff. It's just ridiculous. It's just crazy. You know? Mike Pence has come out recently kind of stepping away from Trump and saying that humans have a hand in climate change. And do I think he has a point, or what is he trying to make? Really? Yeah, he's done that. Mike Pence, my wife's like, really? He said, yeah, Mike Pence has actually come out saying that he believes humans have a hand in global warming. And I honestly think he's just trying to get some people from the right, you know, that he has, but get people from the left that are like, hey, wait a minute. Wow, well, he believes in climate change. Whether he believes it or not, he's talking about it, maybe to get some people from the left. But as you see in videos time and time and time again, they'll interview people and they'll say, who do you think said this? Well, I think, honestly, that's something Trump would say. I don't believe that. That's something I don't support that. That's something Trump would say. And when they get to the end, Hillary said that. Hillary, huh? She said those? And they don't know what to do because they support Hillary, but they said things that she said she supported things that they don't. And they did it one time, and they did the same thing. That has to be something, you know, Trump would say. Or they would have these things that, oh, I support that. Well, I think Hillary would say that, and it was Trump that said it, not Hillary. They're like, wait a minute. And, you know, I'm sometimes wonder if he's, well, we need to tap in and get some of the people on the left. Because there may be some people on the left that are listening to us. And it may good, bad, or whatever, you know. And I just kind of feel that that might be the case. That they may be like, well, let's see what happens. You know, because I've not really heard him talk much about, you know, climate change or anything when he was the governor of Indiana. So I don't really believe in any of that, like, global warming or climate change stuff. But I do believe in doing my, you know, trying to recycle and reduce and reuse stuff. Common sense. But, you know, I mean, if you can make a plastic cap that does the same job, but it's 5 times smaller, then go ahead. You know, why do you have to have 50 times the plastic on a lid when you can get by with one that's smaller? It doesn't mean that I'm like, oh no, the ice polar caps are melting. They've been proven they were water at one point in our Earth's history. Like the post said, and I've posted it many times, at what point in our Earth's history did the climate not change? You know, it's just one of those things. There's about 27 minutes left in the program. Folks, I want to thank you all again for tuning in and checking out, no matter where you're listening, whether it's East Coast, West Coast. I really appreciate you listening in. And Colin Kaepernick has actually weighed in on the embarrassing Trump-Clinton debate. Like, anyone would listen to him? Really? Oh, you know, what, is he going to become like a commentator or something now? Like, who? The guy won't even respect his nation by standing up for the national anthem because this nation is full of oppression. Well, this nation is turning into a socialistic, you know, society. I don't support it, but I'm standing up for my national anthem. Like, I wonder if anyone, I can't even swallow. He's almost worth, I mean, he's getting up there with, like, Clinton and Obama listening to. I mean, he's someone that I thought San Francisco should have dumped a long time ago, and boy, was I right. I just don't, I mean, now we get all these sports figures that are talking about the debate, like, listen to me. I mean, you listen to me, but I mean, this is what I talk. I do this for, you know, I do this. It's not like I'm a baseball player. I mean, I do cook for a living, but this is, when I don't respect the person to begin with, I'm really going to respect his opinion on the presidential debate. But if you did watch South Park last night, all my South Parketeers out there, that was hilarious. When they had Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and okay, Hillary, you just said that everything that Trump says is a lie and all this stuff. And then he's like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to be in this debate. I'm giving it to Hillary. Everything he said is a lie. I'm not as funny as the show, but yeah, because it was a make or break last night, because it was getting to be pretty boring, you know, because they're doing this thing now where, like, the whole season's like a one continuous, like, episode where they all interconnect, where before they used to do separate episodes that really had nothing to do with the other one, and they were getting pretty, like, it's getting bad, where I didn't want to watch it last night, and just, now it's like, okay, that was hilarious, so. But it's just one of those things that, I don't know. It's like we're getting to the point where, you know, Colin Kaepernick's going to weigh in on the debates. Like, I don't know who listens to him. Unless you support the fact that he disrespects his national anthem and his country. I mean, I don't like the way my country's going, like I've said, but I'm still going to respect it and stand up. And cause like I've said before, you know, let me see here. What did Rosa Parks do? Yeah, she refused to give up her seat, but she didn't call for the killing of whites. She didn't burn the bus. She didn't flip it over. Let me see here. Martin Luther King, he didn't call for the killing of whites. He stood up. He didn't burn buildings. He didn't flip cars over. They did more change than anybody. More change. But you know what? That's what we need more of. We need more of people that want to change for the good. You know, that say, hey, yeah, there is some racism in this world, but you're a human being to me. There's one race, the human race. Let's build this world starting today better. There was a story where Ronald Reagan was on a plane and him and Gorbachev weren't going anywhere and they were just having nothing. And Ronald Reagan just stopped and goes, "Hi, I'm Ronnie." And put out his hand, and from there it hit off. It clicked. So I mean, I've said it before, and I feel like we're back into the Civil War. Kill white people. Black power graffiti. I never thought in my lifetime I would see stuff like that. I thought we were above that, but I guess we're not. I guess we're. But then we also have people like Michael Savage and the Savage Nation with 20 million people. And during the middle of his show, they were just flipping and putting on someone else over him, or they were just starting to replay a old episode of his, because he's questioning Hillary's health, because he cares about her like many people do. I never thought I'd see that in America. You don't question Hillary's health, okay? Well, then I hope she dies. If I can be concerned about her and hope that she's getting the treatment she deserves, and you know, what are we supposed to do? Just say, well, I hope she dies? That's not Christian. That's not the Christian way. But I never thought I'd be in a country where, okay, sorry, folks, but what's going on? Oh, they're just cutting the feed because you're talking about her health. Because you're questioning the medical treatment she's getting or the disease she has or whatever. Because, God forbid, she can't even admit she has pneumonia. You know, I would, like I've said before, I respected Bernie Sanders just because he said, I'm a socialist. That's what I am, you know. I would respect her 1,000,000% if she said, yeah, I have Parkinson's. This is what's going on. You know, I'm just letting you know I'm on these medications. Through help with Michael J. Fox, I'm getting the best care I can. This is what I'm doing. But no, she's trying to cover up. She had pneumonia. You know, but then we also have a person, you know, like, it just gets me when they'll try to tag Trump on something he did 25 years ago and hold it over his head today. I seriously want to run for president just so I can see what they dig up on me when I was 20. You know, seriously. And I said this at the beginning. I said, they're gonna try to find an unpaid parking ticket. And they're going to say, look at Trump didn't pay a parking ticket. How dare that evil man? Al Sharpton has millions of dollars in back taxes owed, but he didn't pay a $10 parking ticket. That ticket, you know, there should be like a 25 cent a day fine, and that would be now like a $4,000 ticket. You know, how can he run for president with an unpaid parking ticket? Are you kidding me? That's what they try to do. And they spend millions and millions of your damn tax dollars and advertising dollars that they get to investigate. Okay, we're going to have 5,000 people. We got to find something on Trump, man, because Hillary Clinton's getting no one at her rallies. That's what I'm saying. If she wins the election, I call foul with how few people are going to her rallies. I mean, they're turning people away from a Trump rally. And if they turned away what they claim, that's equal to or more than everybody that's gone to the Hillary rallies in the last 2 months combined. I don't know. You know, but then you have a president that says Congress made a big mistake overriding the 9/11 veto. You know, sorry, but I think the victims of 9/11 are owed justice. They're owed something, you know, an explanation of any kind. You know, especially the Benghazi victims, they're owed something, but hey, what can you do? You know, when Hillary won't even basically be, here you go. And she won't even talk to the victims, the survivors. This is just because I used to like Reggie Miller, the Pacer player. But to think that now he's 100% in support of Kaepernick, it's amazing how many of these people are supporting Kaepernick that are coming out. Well, I support him to an extent that, okay, not standing up for the national anthem, but if you disagree and you think that you're so, how would you put it, like, oh, well, we are discriminated against and we are, you know, I'm a million-dollar football player. I wish I could say that I wasn't given opportunities or because of the color of my skin, you know. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything, or I'm held down. And I wish I could say that. Now, here's my $35 million a year, but, you know, the white man's hold me back. I should be making way more because the guy who signed my check, you know, I'm rich, but the guy who signed my check, he's wealthy, you know. I don't get it. It's an America I never thought I'd see. Got about 15 minutes left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all again for tuning in and whatever. Wow. It's just, I'm sometimes baffled by where this country has gone. Because I think how far it's gone down in the 8 years. I mean, just think about it. Imagine what Hillary would do with the war on women, like Obama has done with the war on race. I don't even want to see this country. But I'm not going to sit there and move to Canada. I'm going to fight to make America better. Like I've said, Martin Luther King was one of the greatest Americans. He did great things, and he was never a politician. Okay, folks. Moving on. I don't know if you heard about this one, but where is it? Tim Tebow did something in his first time at bat that few have done. And there's actually, I tried to find the statistic. I said it right. That word. Don't want to say it again because I'll mess it up, but there's a number that, like, out of everyone that's been up to bat in their first time at in the major leagues and they hit a home run, there's a number of people, a percentage that never hit another home run. I think it's like 19 that hit a home run at their first time at bat, but after that never did. But it's 51 American League players and 68 National League players that hit a home run on their first time at bat. Tim Tebow is added to that list. Now, he probably won't hit another one, but maybe he was meant to be a baseball player. You never know. You don't know that. We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that claim the Bulls' record was scarred when Michael left and played baseball for the White Sox for 2 years. But hey, I think it's kind of cool that he did it, you know? It goes to show you that people can do more than just baseball. You know, they can branch out. And, you know, football players go into baseball and basketball players have gone into baseball and had success. So we wish him the best, you know. I think it's pretty cool that he, you know. I'm that, my wife kind of thinks this, I'm that factoid guy. I love those little tidbitty facts about stuff. It just fascinates me, you know, to no end and know all these little statistics and stuff like that. That word I can't really say too well, but it's one of those things that I think it's pretty cool, you know, when you see stuff like that that goes on and different things. So it's just pretty cool, I think, you know. Just some of the players that I grew up watching are starting to go. It's just to see people like, I remember watching like Pete Rose growing up and Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco and Ryan Sandberg and Sean Dunston and Will Clark and Fernando Valenzuela and all these, and just to see them kind of going. It's just, I guess I relate it to NASCAR, because when you sit there, I'm like, okay, Kyle Petty doesn't race anymore. Austin Bill from Dawsonville, Rusty Wallace, now Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart won't be racing after this year. It's just like hard to believe, you know. Herman Warren Weaver, Kenny Wallace doesn't race anymore. Morgan Shepherd sometimes does in the Nationwide or whatever. I forget what it is now. Nationwide Series stuff. But, you know, other than that, it's kind of like bye-bye. All these, it just shows you how old I'm getting. I'm only 41, but it's just like all these drivers that I used to love and baseball players I used to watch. And now it's like, I remember Don Mattingly and, oh, wow, just Barry Bonds. And when I remember we had nursing home people that came to my school in high school, and a guy was talking about Ted Williams and Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and Ty Cobb. Wow. Just, you know, Hank Aaron and Vita Blue. And it's just like, I love talking to old people and hear stories about our past and, you know, and things that you may not read in a history book, because it fascinates me, because, you know, you don't want to lose your history. You want to know where you come from so you know where you're going. And I've always been fascinated by history and Major League Baseball is a great pastime. I got to say this. One of my friends, for some reason, always asked me this question in high school. He goes, if sex was America's pastime, would you play baseball? I don't know why he said that, but he always would ask me that. And I never got it, and I never understood it. But it's just one of those things, you know. I've always been fascinated by my history and people telling me, you know, how can you go forward if you don't know where you've been, you know? So, and this show is kind of like, I guess, moving forward with that and just saying, hey, this is okay. This is what we do. This is where we've been. That's why I love the Feast of the Hunter's Moon. Next year, hard to believe, will be 50 years. And just in case you're not familiar with it, if you're not from the local area, Feast of the Hunter's Moon was started by a man by the name of Bill Baugh. And it used to be like a one-day thing, and now it's a two-day festival, and it's a nationally recognized historical event. And we reenact the people that lived in Tippecanoe County and at Fort Wiatnon in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And anyone that goes out there like me, we love to just like spew our guts with our history and what we know about it and the way they lived. And it's just something that I've, like, ever since I was like 2 years old, we went out there, and probably from like 8 or 9, I've worked out there in some form, whether at a booth or performing music or what have you. So it's just been, it's one of those things that I continue to do. And I highly recommend you check it out. No matter where you live, at some point, go out to the Feast of the Hunter's Moon. You won't regret it. Great food. Tons of people out there that are willing to share their love of history and what they know about the area and the people that live there. And it's just a good time, you know. It's a lot of fun, and, you know. And it takes a lot of work, because, like, every weekend, I give my hats off to Leslie Martin Cromwell, because she always, they're every weekend, they're out there for probably for like last 2 months, you know, and even 2.5 months are cutting poles and all kinds of stuff. So it's a cooperative effort. And tomorrow I'll be taking stuff out, and I'll be playing music for some like elementary school kids and stuff. And it's a good time. You know, it's just something I've done for years, and it's a lot of fun. So I just, as I close that kind of segment up, talking about the feast, it's just, that's what I've always been fascinated by. Well, how do I know what to support? Who do I support? How do I know, should I go with Reagan, Walter Mondale? Who should I, I'm a little kid. I didn't understand. He's like, well, what was America founded on? Well, first it was founded on trying to find a quick way to the West Indies to get black pepper, because, as you know now, rotten meat is rotten meat and it should not be eaten. Back then, if they could cover up the smell with black pepper, well, then guess what, folks? It's magically safe. Well, we know that's not the case, you know, so. And know your history, okay? We want less government, less regulations. Okay, and that's how I've tried to vote, based on who I think is going to get us more back to what our founding fathers wanted. And that's what I try to do. And it's just sad that you have people that are being censored because they're caring about someone and questioning someone's health or whatever. Or when they talk about somebody, okay, we're going to cut the feed, folks. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Actually, we just shut the feed off. You know, it's sickening, because we're not supposed to be a China or North Korea. We're supposed to be a nation of free press, where you're able to express your opinions. You know, we're supposed to be a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. Not, you're guilty by your peers. Good luck, because even if they find you not guilty in court, they're going to hang you outside, no matter what the evidence shows or whatever. Got about 5 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to get into some Premier League news as we move right along into the English Premier League season. It is a very tight race, because you got Manchester City in first with 18 points. Tottenham is second at 14 points. Then you got Arsenal, Liverpool, and Everton tied with 13 points in third, fourth, and fifth, and then Manchester United's in sixth with 12 points. So it's just a tight race. And, you know, when you look at a team like Chelsea, I thought they would be a lot further higher up than they are. They got 3 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws. I thought they would be a lot better than they are. You know, I did. I really thought they would be. And they're just they're not doing what I expect. I mean, I thought the way they would be going and the way they would be playing, that they would just be like our Achilles heel. I thought they would be our Achilles heel, you know, but turns out that they're not as good as I thought they would be because, you know, I thought when they got rid of a good old Jose Mourinho, I thought, okay, they're going for blood. They want to win. They want to do something. You know, same thing with Man City. I thought, you know, okay, they got some great players now. They got Sergio Aguero. They got Diaz. They got Silva. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, Man City is in first place. I thought that. And I think it's going to come down to, I think, a goal deficit. I think it's going to really come down to two teams having the same score at the end. And it's going to be decided by goal deficit. I think it's too early to say, you know. I think the teams, now they got the players that they want and they got the roster that they want, they are going to start taking and learning to play together and learning to find out where they fit on the field. And I think Jose Mourinho is a good example because, you know, he's taken Rooney out for a couple games to rest him and they've done quite well without him. And that's a good thing in case he were to get hurt. I don't think he's out of the lineup at all. But I think it's good in case if anything ever happened to him, they know Juan Mata can step up. They're not going to keep Wayne Rooney on the bench, you know, but it's good to know that they can, Daley Blind can step up, Luke Shaw and Jones and Rojo and all these guys can step up, and Antonio Valencia can make it happen. And I think that's something that's positive because now we know that we got a team that I think teams in the Premier League that have not been at the top for a while, and they're eager to get back up there and win. And Jose Mourinho also realizes that, you know, if they don't win the title this year, it'll be the first time in league history that they've gone 4 years without a title. So, but there's a first for everything. So, you know, got about 70 seconds left in the program, folks. And I hope maybe I turn some of you on to football. You know, yeah, you'll have fun when all of a sudden your friends are like, what are you watching that shite for? You've never watched Manchester United before. You know, hey, that's how me and my wife gave it up that we were dating when her dad, a guy that she calls her dad, is like, you never watch football. What the heck? Oh, wow. It's a great ride. And actually, on the 3rd of this month of October, we will. I think it's been 2 or 3 years since I asked my wife to marry me at the feast. So it kind of has some great significance. 2 years. Yeah, I just asked my wife for the knowledge. She knows it. And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Monday, good night, goodbye, and God bless.